All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and let's read verses. Let's start in verse 35, and we'll read down through verse 50. That's about 15 verses. Let's get to reading. But some man will say, "How are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as he hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies, and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy, that's the terrestrial body. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." So if that's the way it is, something better happen to you while you're living here, or you ain't gonna, there ain't gonna be no spiritual body for you, and there ain't gonna be no celestial body. You understand that, don't you? Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, and corruption cannot inherit incorruption. There's a difference. There's an earthly body, and there's a heavenly body. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. But something's got to happen here and now. It's not something that magically happens later. And we've said that a lot. But anyway, let's get on with this. All flesh is not the same flesh. Now that's an answer to the question in verse 35. With what body do they come? See, with what body do they come? The answer was, thou fool. Don't you understand all these things? How that there's two separate things we're talking about here. All flesh is not the same. And there's a celestial body. There's a terrestrial body. There's a natural body. There's a spiritual body. They try to understand spiritual things by the natural things they see. Now that's the natural way that men do. And they try to, you know, while there's a parallel between the two, they're different. And that's something that has to be acknowledged. So we got to be careful with these analogies we draw between physical things and spiritual things. Now, Jesus did so in parables and all of that. And yes, there's a parable, a parallel. And there's a much to be learned from comparing the natural, but you got to be careful because you can carry it too far and you can hold too rigid a grip on things and therefore misinterpret, misunderstand spiritual things because they're two different things. Now, the explanation Paul gives here starts by showing that there are great differences even in the natural realm, yet they're still the same. All flesh is flesh, but all flesh is not the same flesh. He names four different types of flesh here: men, beasts, fishes, and birds. Well, now, if you're a meat eater, you can understand that, can't you? I mean, there's a difference in chicken and brisket. Brisket's a lot better, in my opinion, but, you know, I like chicken too. Birds and fish, I ain't too much on that. I can eat them, but, eh. Now, if you're Japanese or somebody like that, you'd eat a lot of fish and like it, I guess. But there's different types of flesh. You know the difference. You can taste the difference. You can see the difference. You can smell the difference. They're all animals. They're all alive. They're all similar. But the flesh is different. It's different. All flesh is not the same. Although they're similar in their makeup and their and function, each one is distinctly different. The flesh of man is different from that of beast. For example, you know, you can't give a blood transfusion to humans from animals. It doesn't work. But humans, no matter what color they are on the outside, no matter what race they belong to, there's just four types of blood. Four different blood types of man. So, you know, that's proof that man's not an animal. He's separate from the beast, even though he shares the same designer and therefore has some things in common. They're different. So there are celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, he tells us. Now listen to me, because we're going somewhere here. There are things that are above the skies. Think about it. He said celestial bodies. He ain't talking about the sun and the moon and the stars either, particularly. There are bodies above the skies. That's what celestial means. You look it up in the dictionary, that's what the word means. Or if you look up the Greek word there, that's what it means. Above the skies. Some we can see, some we cannot see. Mm-hmm. Now we can see the moon, we can see the sun, we can see some of the stars. And everything else that's flying around out there, you know. I guess there's a lot of asteroids. You know, when I was in school, you learned the asteroid belt was between Mars and Jupiter. And now they're all over here. I mean, they're just asteroids passing the Earth every little bit. I don't know. I mean, I know I'm just a dumb hillbilly. I know. But it's a real stretch to pick a rock up off the ground on Earth and say, this came from Mars. I mean, here is one old boy that you ain't going to convince with that foolishness. How'd it get off of Mars and onto the Earth? And why didn't it burn up coming through the Earth's atmosphere? And how do you know it's from Mars? They pick up rocks on Mars and on the moon, and they're made out of the same stuff the rocks are here. You know, for the most part. There's things that are of this earth. There's terrestrial bodies and there are celestial bodies. Now listen to me. You're dust. You're made out of dust. Dust thou art, and unto the dust thou shalt return. Your body that you're living in right now, those eyes you're looking out at me right now, through, they're made out of dust. That body you got is a terrestrial body. Now you got to have that to live and experience life on this earth. But there are celestial bodies. And there are spiritual bodies. And that comes next. It comes later. You have to have a terrestrial body before you can have a celestial body. We're talking about people now. If you want to inherit the kingdom of God, you have to be born again. You have to be born of the Spirit. And when you are, you are prepared to live forever in a spiritual body, in a celestial body, one of these days. It will be changed in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed. That's the way it's going to happen. It's going to be the same, but not the same. And, you know, we're going to look at that here a little bit to try to see what we're talking about here. But that body that we're going to live in forever, it's not going to be like what you got right now. It is, but it's going to be different. You know, each has its own glory, the celestial and the terrestrial. But the glory of one is not the same glory as the other. Each one has its own purpose and its own importance. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You can't go into the presence of God. You can't live forever in the presence of God. And within the celestial city, as Pilgrim put it, in the body you're living in right now. It won't work. It couldn't endure it. It's not suited for that. It's not equipped for that, designed for that. It's not. These bodies that are above the skies, they're similar yet different than those that are on earth. You know, they've got these things, they show us pictures of the surface of the moon and of Mars and of other planets, and they reveal a great similarity to Earth in a lot of ways. But there's a great difference that's also undeniable. You know, you look at these pictures from Mars. It's fascinating to me that they can do that. I know some people say, that's all a lie and they don't do nothing. Yeah, and you believe the Earth's flat too. And yeah, but that you believe in Bigfoot, I'll bet you. And ghosts. Yeah. It's fascinating to me. There's clouds in the sky. There's hills in the distance. The wind is blowing. And there's rocks everywhere. Just rocks, no trees. It's as sterile as it can be. And they're determined there's life there. If they could find one, something, anything, just, but it's not. It's dead as a doorknob. But it looks a lot like here. You can go to places in Arizona and other places in deserts on the earth, and it looks just like that. But it sure is a lot different. You know, everybody lives in fantasy about all this stuff. You know, they're going to go to Mars. What's that, Elon Musk? Is that his name? Going to send all these people to Mars? Boy, that's a sucker deal if I ever heard one. Pay him $1 million and he hauls you up there to die. You ain't coming back. And they think they can just get out of their spaceship and breathe that fresh Martian air and it'll all plant a garden and everything will be all right. There's not enough atmosphere on Mars. The radiation is like, you know, I mean, it's like glow-in-the-dark stuff. I mean, I've read where over a meter deep in the ground, more than that, has to be sterile because of the radiation is so potent. And you're going to live there, grow vegetables there, and all of this. It's all a bunch of nonsense. It's a different environment where you cannot live. Yeah. And God gave man dominion over the earth, not over Mars or the heavens. And every time man has tried that, God put a stop to it. And He will this time too. You just mark my words. I think it's fascinating that they're clever enough to send things there, land on the surface of Mars. It's amazing. It sure is. Testament to man and what he could be if he wasn't such a wicked, defiled, depraved sinner. If we could, one of these days we're going to understand how God did really make man in His own image and likeness. And we're going to understand how far man sunk from the first design that God made him. And that spiritual body that we're going to have is going to restore that. I really believe that. I believe we're going to be fully restored. Psalmist said, I'll be satisfied when I wake in His likeness. I mean, really, in His likeness. With everything restored that God put in that first Adam, I don't think in our wildest imagination we can even think. I think it's just like heaven. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man. The things God hath prepared for them that love Him. I think it's the same way for us in understanding what kind of man Adam was that God created. But anyway, those bodies that are above the skies are similar yet different than those on earth. They are all made out of the same stuff, but have a very different existence. He said, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is almost perfectly illustrated by a simple butterfly's life cycle. Maddie, did you order your chrysalis yet? She got this thing for Christmas. She can order these little chrysalis, I guess, and watch the butterfly hatch out. Ain't it amazing? It's always amazed me how God created things like that to show us. I mean, it's an egg and a worm and a tomb and a butterfly. Think about it. All are the same body, but in a different form. The last being by far better than the others. Now, who would not say that butterfly is much better than that old wet, nasty-looking caterpillar? But it's fascinating because he hatches out of an egg and he turns into this nasty-looking worm creature that just eats everything he sees. And he's got colors on him. And then all of a sudden, he'll wrap himself up in this little cocoon and die. His body completely disintegrates, liquefies inside that chrysalis. And then something happens. And it reforms itself. And when the butterfly hatches out of the chrysalis, the same colors are there that were on the caterpillar. It's the same creature, but in a different form. Man, that ought to make you just dance all over the place thinking about it. Will we know each other in heaven? Well, of course we will. But we ain't gonna look like we do now. We're going to look similar, but we're going to be different. I really believe that's right. The corruption is gone. You've been remade, recreated. All are the same body, but in different forms. It's sown in corruption. It's raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. That caterpillar that goes into that chrysalis is a corrupt and disgusting looking thing. You know, when they got to the grave of Lazarus, they said, Lord, he's been dead 4 days. By now he stinketh. That's what happens. When this old body dies, it stinks. But when it emerges from its tomb, no one would describe it as anything but beautiful. And I'm sure that you've heard this before, Maddie, but you don't want to try to help it get out of that cocoon. It's a real struggle for it to get out. But if you try to help it, you kill it. It has to. You know, we read this thing, wasn't it, in Streams in the Desert? I think it's one of the readings in it. But the guy, that's what it was. He watched one and it was just struggling and struggling. And so he couldn't wait any longer. He took some scissors and just snipped a thread or two so he could slip out. And the poor thing never could fly. Its wings wouldn't unfold. And the struggle was what gave it this. It forced the liquids into its wings. And it's what made it able to live. The struggle. Being born. (Clears throat) I remember preaching just here a while back about how the struggles and the trials and the adversity here increase our reward in heaven, increase our riches in eternity. Y'all remember that just a few weeks ago. But it enters the tomb. It is bound, before it enters the tomb, it's bound to crawl on its belly and eat what it chances to find. But when it comes forth from its tomb, it has wings to fly and it lives on the nectar of flowers. It can fly all around. And it eats the good stuff, not the nasty stuff. It's sown a natural body and it's raised a spiritual body, the verse says. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. This is what Paul's explaining here. What it is now is not what it will be when it is resurrected. Oh, if we could just get our mind around that just a little bit. We think of it in such shallow, light terms. And it's hard for us not to, because we're pretty shallow and pretty limited in our ability to see beyond this terrestrial cage we're in. What comes out of the grave is not what went into the grave. It was a seed that was planted. Yeah. But what comes out is different. It's like it, but it's different. While it will be the same body, it'll be in a different form, just like that butterfly. It'll be suited for a different world and a different existence, quite different than this world. Now, I say it pretty often here, but people have, and almost everybody's this way. They have their concept of heaven and eternity is that it is just going to be a continuation of life on earth. And it is not. No way whatsoever are we going to go to heaven and just pick up where we left off here. There's not a hillbilly heaven. There ain't a bunch of hillbillies playing their music. There ain't a bunch of bikers over yonder and a bunch of drinkers over here. You know, that ain't it at all. It ain't going to be like family reunion time. It's beyond what we imagine here. And I tell you what, I fear and tremble for people who can't get their mind out of that mode, where they're thinking of heaven as just being all gathered in. It's just going to be a great big family reunion and we're going to get to see Paul and Ma and everybody and it'll just be us and we'll be having such a good time. It ain't going to be nothing like that. And you're not going to care. I mean, surely heaven should mean more to you than that. I don't know how in the world. I know it's offensive to people because they've lived in that hope for all their life, but heaven's far more than that. Yes. We're going to be so overwhelmed with being in the presence of God that I don't think we're going to be thinking about all the rest of that. You know, who do you love more? God or your loved ones? He said, if you love them more than me, you're not worthy of me. I think God's just so much more than what we act like He is, think He is. And the way we live, we don't live like God is really like He is. We have low expectations, if that's all we're looking forward to heaven about. It'd cheer you up here if you had a better idea of what heaven's going to be like. Well, it'll be the same body, it'll be a different form. And it'll be suited for a different world. It'll be changed into a body that is spiritual and lives in a spiritual world. That caterpillar can't fly around and drink nectar from the flowers. It just goes along chomping whatever's in front of it. And when we're changed, you know, when Jesus comes, or when we die and go to heaven, and we're changed to a spiritual body. It'll be changed into a body that is suited for that place, for that environment, for those circumstances. It'll be a body that won't have to be sustained by the things that we have to be sustained with here. Everybody here will probably go home and eat something after you get home tonight. And I know this for a fact, most everybody stays sick half the time from eating. But you can't stop eating, because we got to eat to exist here. This terrestrial body has to eat terrestrial stuff to sustain itself. But a spiritual body don't have to have terrestrial food. Think about it. It's just a big deal. Big deal. It'll be changed into a body that's spiritual and lives in a spiritual world. And we'll now be bound by the things that bind us now, and time and space particularly. We're not going to be bound, because that's terrestrial. That this terrestrial body, this earthy body, this body made out of dust, it's got boundaries, it's got bounds, it's shut in. It can't, there's limits on everything about it. Our existence will be sustained by something different than what it is now. And that there is a spiritual body. The scripture we read, I hope you listened while we read it. This stuff's not making sense to you if you didn't listen. The natural comes before the spiritual, like a seed that is sown. There in verses 45 through 49, I'm going to read it again. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which was spiritual, which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. So which comes first? The natural. That ain't like the chicken and the egg deal, which is a dumb question anyway. God didn't create an egg, He created a chicken. Answer to that, simple. Unless you're one of those fools who don't believe there's a God. Even the evolutionists, man, how could they believe an egg came first? Where'd it come from? Man alive. So why do people keep asking that question? Which came first, chicken or the egg? Oh. The terrestrial comes first, the natural comes first, and then the spiritual. So, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Man, ain't that hope? Ain't that hopeful? Go home and look at yourself in the mirror. If you ain't pleased with it, just think, if you belong to God, you're going to look a whole lot better than that one of these days. You're looking at, thou worm, Jacob! But it ain't always going to be like that if you're born again. Ain't always going to be like that. Old Brother Earl used to sing, I'm going to have a new body someday. A glorified body that'll never decay. I'll sing and I'll shout and I'll never wear out. Thank God I'm going to have a new body someday. See, whoever wrote that understood what I'm talking about here tonight out of these verses. Man, I used to hear people talk about it in Baptist churches a lot. I'm going to have a new body. And have that glorified body. Never going to get sick. Doesn't have to hunger and thirst and suffer and pain and wear out. We were talking the other day, and I said to her about it, you know, just, you know, you remember what it felt like when you were young? Can you imagine? That's what it's going to feel like. Only way, way more than that. At the very bottom. Just as high as we can reach into it from where we're at now, we can understand that, man, it's going to be like we were when we were young. And it's going to be way better than that. But, I mean, we imagine that and think, oh, won't that be wonderful? It'll be 10,000 times better than that. Better than you ever felt in this terrestrial body. You think you felt good? You ain't never felt as good as that body's going to feel. No corruption. Man. I'll be able to see. Perfect. Everybody will be able to see perfectly. More than you've ever seen before. You're going to be shocked when your eyes are open and you can see what is there that's been around you all the time. You didn't know it was there because you had this old earthy body that was so full of infirmities that you were way more crippled than you thought you were. You were way more blind than you thought you were. When the Bible talks about us being blind, and we laugh and say, I ain't blind, I can see. No, you're blind. We're blind. But we'll see one of these days. The first Adam was of the earth. The second Adam was of heaven. First Adam was Adam. Who's the second Adam? Jesus. The second Adam. We've just been singing about it in these Christmas hymns, you know. Second Adam. From above. He's from heaven. Come down to the earth. We are by nature the sons of Adam and bear his image. A lot of people take that way too far. See, taking the natural and, like I said a while ago, and overstraining it. You're not a sinner because Adam made you a sinner. You're a sinner because you made you a sinner. You can't blame it on him. He's got enough on his plate already. Let Adam face God with Adam's sins. We're going to face God with our sins. Every man shall give account of himself to God, is what the Bible says. And we're all going to be judged according to our works. Not going to be judged according to what Adam did. Need to get that straight. We are by nature the sons of Adam, and we bear his image. Yeah? We live in a sin-cursed world. And yeah, he was the one that messed it up. Sure was. We can say that for sure. We're in these bodies that are degraded and what's the other word? Defiled? Well, we're just defiled, that's for sure. But we're just degenerated from where we were. And yeah, that was him. If we're born of God, then we shall also bear the image of the second Adam. Isn't that what I just read there? If we've borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. So, I mean, I've been under the understanding for the last 40-some years that that's why Jesus came to this earth. To save us from our sins. To make us a new creature in Christ. I thought that's what a Christian is one that's like him. I thought it says that to as many as believed on his name, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And then he sent the Holy Ghost to dwell in us, to empower us to live holy in this present evil world. I've been under the impression that he is sanctifying his church, his bride, and that he intends to present her spotless and without spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing. Now, so, you know, that's been my understanding. that we're to bear His image. If we belong to Him, we ought to be like Him. I thought it was Christ in me, the hope of glory. So if we're born of God, then we shall also bear the image of the second Adam, who is spiritual. And all these people cried about Adam and how Adam made him a sinner, and it's all Adam's fault, and got Adam in us, and Adam's the head of all this, and Adam, 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 Adam. What about the second Adam? You're supposed to be bearing his image too. They've forgotten that part. And they think that somehow, when this is all over, they're going to bear it in heaven. Well, if you don't bear it here, you're not going to bear it in heaven. Amen. That's right. If you ain't a new creature here, you ain't going to be a new creature in heaven because you ain't going to be there. There must be a change, and that change must happen before death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50, the last verse that we read there. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. And that's the way it is. Statement of fact. You ain't going to heaven like that. In that body of flesh. That terrestrial body. Not going to go to heaven like that. You know, people get confused because Job said, I know that in my flesh I shall see God. Well, that's true. But it's going to be different. It's going to be changed. It's going to be a new body. Jesus said when he reappeared to the disciples, he said, touch me. Feel of me. See, I am flesh and bone like you. But he could walk through a wall. He could fly through the sky. Different kind of body. What will happen when you're resurrected from the dead is determined while you're yet alive. Whoa, that's so important. Everybody needs to understand that. What's going to happen about you when you're resurrected from the dead? Because everybody is going to be resurrected. Saved, lost, wicked, evil, everybody's going to be raised from the dead. And what happens then with you is going to be determined before you die here on this earth. You might look at it like this. The resurrection happens when you give your heart and life to Jesus and you trust Him as your Savior. Jesus said that day at the tomb of Lazarus, He said to Mary, Martha, He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Because she just said, Lord, I know that at the last day in the resurrection, he'll be raised. Jesus said, no, I am the resurrection. So, if Jesus is your Savior and Lord, I mean, if you are born again and you know Him, you've given your life to Him, and He has saved you, then the resurrection is already, see, in your life. I mean, it's a sure thing. It's a done deal. You're sealed by the Spirit until the day of redemption. Redemption of what? The body. And the Spirit is the earnest of that deal, that promise, that covenant. The Spirit that's in you. And the Spirit that bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. You know. All this stuff, well, I hope I'm saved. I hope to make heaven my home someday. No. There's more to it than that. And if you don't know, you've missed it. The Spirit of God lives in you. And He confirms it to you. You don't have to ask anybody. Nobody has to give you assurance of your salvation. You know you're a child of God. Jesus manifests Himself to you. He promised to do that. He said, I'll come to you. And my Father will come to you. We'll manifest ourselves to you. And you'll know that corruption must be dealt with and destroyed this side of the grave by being born again. Or you're going to be resurrected to shame and everlasting contempt. Man, you better do business with God now. Better do business with God about your corruption, about your sin, about your unregenerated state. I've been thinking about this. You know, why are people going to go to hell? Because they resist God. They reject God. When they don't want to hear about it, when they don't want you talking about it, when they run from you, when they say, I ain't coming to church and I don't want to hear that stuff. That's why they're going to hell. There must be that seed planted in your soul, or you'll perish forever. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. He that is born of God cannot sin, for his seed remaineth in him. There's something in you when you get born again. God put something in you. It's everlasting life. No one who is simply flesh and blood here is going to inherit the kingdom of God after death. You die in that natural state. Y'all hear me? You die as a man, as a woman, just in that natural, carnal state without being born again. If there's nothing spiritual about you, if there's not that seed in you, if there's not that Holy Ghost living in you, you'll not make heaven your home. I don't care how many times you've been baptized, how many times you've made professions of faith, how many times you stood and said, I'm saved, I know I'm saved. The people I've heard say that through the years, I know I'm saved, nobody can tell me I'm not saved. And they ain't got one leg to stand on. They don't know nothing about being saved, they ain't got no evidence of it, and they're mean as the devil and hateful, and they're going to heaven. No, they're not. There's much of a difference in a spiritual person, a born-again person, and a lost person, or a religious person, right here, this side of heaven, as there is between that butterfly and that caterpillar. Yes, sir, buddy. You're born of God, you're a different kind of person. One more thing. If there's no spiritual part of you now, there's nothing to resurrect in that new world. Eternal life begins here on earth, not in heaven after you die. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. I give unto them eternal life. Not I will give unto them someday. No, right now. Whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Maybe a worm now, but there's something in here working. And someday, it'll be a whole lot different. When Jesus comes for his bride, the Bible says we're going to be caught up together with him in the clouds. In the air. What in the world? What's everybody going to do? It's going to be different. You're going to be instantly aware that things are different. You ever think about it? You ever think about the instant that you're changed into that spiritual body? When you put off this corruptible and put on incorruption? When you put off this mortal and put on immortality? When you put off the weakness and put on the power? In an instant. But the seed is there germinating now. See, is that clear? There's something working in me. Is it working in you? It's working in every child of God. It won't leave you alone. You can't get away from it. I mean, you can do all kinds of things, and you can get sidetracked, and you can get cold in your heart for a little bit, but you ain't going to stay that way, and you ain't going to run far, and you're going to have to. I mean, there's just something in you if you belong to God. And there's a... It's just like he's got a cord on you and he's just pulling a little tighter all the time, and you can just kind of feel yourself being drawn. Amen. All right, well, stand with me. It's good to think about these things. Get out your Bible and read. There's, my goodness, this Bible talks a lot about this. All the wonderful things that we can know about what's ahead for us. We're looking at the government and the embassy on fire and the earthquakes and the economy and oh. Hope you can look beyond all this. Why did Jesus say, lift up your heads and look up? Quit looking around you. This world is going to perish. Don't perish with it. You can fly away with God's people someday. Yet you got the choice. And the choice is now. Now. Better quit struggling against God. And quit lying to yourself about that it's other people you're struggling against. It ain't other people. You're struggling against God. You got a problem and you ain't saved and you ain't got no peace in your heart and you ain't believe these promises are not yours. You don't own them. They're not real to you. It's God you're fighting against. Not me. Not anybody else. Better get on board before it's too late. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for these wonderful promises. For this wonderful knowledge and explanation that's right here in these few verses we read. It just whets our appetite. It stirs our minds and it stirs our hearts and our feelings for the things that are to come. Lord, I pray everybody here would be ready. Pray everybody here would be right. And there wouldn't be any left behind. And Lord, please help us to cheer our hearts in these things, in these days we're living in. And Lord, as we all live life and get older and things, health fails and life gets harder and lonelier, Lord, help us to lean on these promises. Thank you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.